He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
There is a zeal for God's house that consumes me, and it should consume you. When you see that God's word is demeaned and little children can change their sex and school districts won't even tell the parents, and that's coming down the legislation pipe, there's a hunger, a zeal, a passion for the things of God, and that comes out in our preaching to call the church back to Him, to call out sin.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on Regaining Lost Ground is titled Building Faith and is part one from a two-part sermon series called Don't Ring the Bell. 1 John 3:20 through 21 tells us, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." Are you focusing more on burdens than blessings? Are you critical and defensive? Is doubt, fear, and anxiety controlling you? Join us for this powerful message as Pastor Shane encourages us to stand firm in the freedom found in Christ alone and throw off the burden of sin.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. We are excited to announce the return of our Saturday night church services to Lancaster Stadium every Saturday this summer at 6:45 p.m. beginning June 12th and running through the month of August. The only exception is June 26th. There will be powerful worship along with life-changing messages. And if you need prayer, motivation, hope, and encouragement, I hope to see you every Saturday this summer beginning June 12th at 6:45 p.m. at Lancaster Stadium.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Don't ring the bell. And that's the title of my message this morning. It's actually the title of the men's event. Don't ring the bell. 170 people want to be Navy SEALs. And I think about 13 or 16 actually make it through the training. And what you have to do when you're at your wit's end, you're done. You ever been there? They have to go in front of everyone. It's heard throughout the entire camp is they have to ring the bell 3 times that they are quitting. And they leave their boots and they leave defeated. And it's a heartbreak. I mean, some boys are looking forward to that for all of their life. And Chad explains that one of the reasons he made it through was he saw his friend. I don't remember if you remember that Navy SEAL who was actually hung off a bridge in Afghanistan and dragged through the streets. That was his friend. And he was just completing Navy SEAL training, and that gave him the strength to not ring the bell. And so my message to you this morning is with the same title, do not ring the bell. No matter what you're going through, no matter what, how dark it may seem, Christ is stronger. The light is always greater. And He often teaches us perseverance through challenges. He teaches us fortitude through difficulties. Perseverance is a spiritual muscle that you will thank God for. Because how will you live for Christ someday if we don't know how to persevere? And that is one of my concerns for churches in America. We've been taught a sugar-coated, watered-down message. Pastors want to be motivational speakers, not coaches. And we need both. We need motivation. We also need conviction. It was ironic. My son played football, plays flag football. And he said, "Dad, Mom, this coach is mean." He said, "But I like it." Yeah. Isn't that true? I look back and some of my hardest coaches, they brought out the best in me though. Get up, don't cry. Let's go. Let's fall forward. The cheerleaders have a purpose, but thank God we're not led always by cheerleaders. We need the coaches sometimes to tell us to get up and fight again. You can do better. You were not created to fail. Get up and win this race. get back up. And I feel that I have somewhat of that calling, especially for you this morning. I don't know, are you at a breaking point? Maybe those listening. We just found out that some radio stations now picked up the programs. I don't know how many of you know, but these sermons are aired on about 50 different radio stations throughout the United States. And Pennsylvania, we just heard this week. And we're hearing from people all over that are ready to give in, give up. Because it gets difficult, doesn't it? Life is challenging. And if we're not prepared, we can easily ring that bell. Here's some key indicators that might help you identify if you're about ready to ring the bell. Are you focusing more on your burdens than your blessings? Anytime I feel that weight, I remember how blessed we actually are. How blessed are we? If you're able to go to a thermostat on your wall and adjust your temperature this week, do you know how many billions of people do not have that? Ice, a refrigerator, carpet, sanctuary. I mean, we could just go on and on. Health, children. I mean, there's so many blessings. And the enemy will start to get us focused on our burdens. And then what happens is we become critical and defensive. And what if you start to notice you're becoming critical and defensive and easily angered. There's something going on in our heart that we need to fix. What about doubt, fear, anxiety? Is it beginning to dominate your life? You start to think, here's what we start to think, I'll just give in, it will make the pain go away. If I just give in and stop this nonsense, it will make the pain go away. And if you study recovery at all or addiction, that's the number one reason many fall back into addiction. If I could just take this pain away. They don't realize that the enemy shows you the fun times, but not the consequences. So let's talk a little bit about this topic of don't ring the bell. James 5, 10 through 11, he said, my brethren. It's interesting. He didn't say take the priests, for example, take the kings, for example, take the people, for example. He said, my brethren, take the prophets as an example for you who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who have endured. One thing you'll quickly realize if you are a student of the Bible is that prophets were not popular. We know, at least it's been said, that King Manasseh killed Isaiah with a wooden saw. The priests of Bethel tortured Amos and then killed him. Micah was slain by Joram, the son of Ahab. The Jews stoned Habakkuk in Jerusalem. This calling of being a spokesman for God, speaking the unadulterated truth of God's word, either convicts. Remember, the same sun that melts a wax hardens a clay. And the prophets were killed because they spoke the truth of God's word. It convicts, it hurts. I mean, it's no secret why Oprah can have these different pastors on. We love these guys. It's all encouragement. Best-selling books. But no lives are radically changed. So he said, look at the prophets as an example who endured suffering because of the truth of God's word. And we're not seeing that today, are we? We're not seeing, and that's one of my laments, even churches in our area and other areas. There's very few prophetic voices. There's very few challenging the draconian measures by our government. There's very few calling out critical race theory and the woke culture, and it breaks our hearts because that's the true church, to speak the truth in love. Not with arrogance, not that we know it all, not that we're the best, but there is a zeal for God's house that consumes me, and it should consume you. When you see that God's word is demeaned and little children can change their sex and school districts won't even tell the parents, and that's coming down the legislation pipe. There's a hunger, a zeal, a passion for the things of God, and that comes out in our preaching to call the church back to Him, to call out sin. I texted Pastor Jack Hibbs and Rob McCoy yesterday, and I said, What percentage of churches are speaking the truth? And we all agree that 90% at least are not. I could list some big names in Southern California of churches in Southern California that are embracing liberal theology, that are not speaking the difficult truths, that are teaching things that are contrary to God's word, all to be politically correct. And if we're not careful, pastors don't spend significant time in God's word, and broken and humble, we will begin to tell the people things they want to hear. Tickle my ears. Tell me what I want to hear. And we'll start to embrace ungodly organizations. And we'll say, we need to welcome and talk about this and do this. And let's just all come together. The word of God is a dividing line. And if anything, this pandemic has, which actually it's not, but we'll just use that language. There's no more flu now. No more pneumonia. It's just amazing. We saw the skewed numbers. We saw the ulterior motives. We saw now the Fauci emails are coming out about masks and different things. And, oh, this might have been created in a lab. And, well, we were called conspiracy theorists a year ago. But the writing is clearly on the wall. What is happening? So let me give you an example of this topic of don't ringing the bell. It's an amazing story from Luke 8. Many of you have heard it before. As Jesus walked, I would love to have been at some of these events. If I could go back in time. As Jesus walked, the multitudes of people thronged him. And that word there in the Greek language is interesting. They chose this word because it's pushing and pressing. Think of a celebrity trying to get through a crowd. They have security and things. And people were just around him everywhere, touching him and crying out to him, and because the miracles were well known. And there was a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. 12 years. She spent all of her livelihood, all of her money on physicians, and she could not be healed by any of them. And she came from behind him. You can picture this. And it says here specifically that she didn't just touch him, that she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch that hem of his garment, if I can just get close to him. And immediately, as soon as she touched him, she was healed. I don't think this is allegory. I think this is an actual story that is absolutely true. But what's interesting is Jesus said, "Who touched me?" I think he might know. The Son of God. He would often ask questions to get people to publicly declare him. Who touched me? And everyone denied it. And Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes are pressing all around you. And you say, who touched me?" And he said, but I perceived that power went out from me. I perceived that something happened. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she declared to him in the presence of all. And see, there's something about that public declaration. That's why baptism is so important, because it's easy to say in your heart, in your chair, like, "Okay, Jesus, yeah, that sounds good. Hopefully nobody sees. You know, just this will be my own little thing." Like, I love when politicians say, "Well, my faith is private." No, sir, it's not. It should be very public. And it's a public declaration, declaring among all that I am bowing my knee to Jesus Christ. She declared in the presence of all the reason why she touched him, and now she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, because of your faith, you have been made well." And from this story, I want to talk to you about being disappointed, damaged, defeated, desperate, determined, and then delivered. I wasn't trying to be cute there. It just all came together with D's. I'm about 3 or 4 D's into this. I'm like, this is interesting. But she was disappointed. Anyone here this morning disappointed in God, in others? She had this issue for 12 years. She spent everything on physicians. So here she is seeking to be healed and nothing is happening. Have you ever been disappointed with God? We need a little more honesty, the 9 a.m. service. Most people have. Disappointed that he's not moving quick enough or doing something, or why am I going through this? Why hasn't he taken this away? Why hasn't he delivered me of this? Why hasn't this happened? And disappointment can come in. But James tells us, blessed is the man or woman, of course, this is manhood. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. That word steadfast is holding the line. Don't ring the bell. Don't run and quit. Hold that line. Blessed is that person who remains steadfast under trial. Because what we're doing, that's why faith is so important. Faith says, I trust in God despite what I see. I'm holding fast to his truth. And she was also damaged. In the Old Testament, it was pretty brutal. If you were leprous or had some type of issue, this lady, for example, you were unclean. It meant you couldn't come into church. Can you imagine us telling people, hey, you've got this defect. You're missing this. You're in a wheelchair. You've got this medical issue. You cannot come into the assembly. You are unclean. There goes her fellowship. There goes her church service. And they have to live in that state. And even the lepers would cry out, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, do not come by. Can you imagine walking down the street? You can't come in contact with anyone. You're crying out, you're saying, I'm unclean, stay away from me. And holding that and wearing that damage on your heart your entire life. And that's why we love these stories of Jesus coming up to the lepers and touching them and holding them and praying for them and setting them free. Because the love of Christ knows no bounds, no matter how deep the sin, no matter how dark the bondage. As long as you cry out to the one who has the answers, you will be saved, you will be set free. What sin can stop God Almighty? He hung on that cross for all types of sins, all types of debauchery, all types of pride and arrogance and addiction. And we love to measure sin. Oh, that one's way up there. And it's interesting. Read through the Bible, the sin of pride. God said, there are 7 things I hate. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. I hate feet that are swift to running to do evil. I hate a gossip and a backbiter, one who swears falsely, one who sows discord among the brethren. Maybe that's for someone this morning. If you're sowing discord among the brethren, God says, these things I hate, they're an abomination to me. A lying tongue. But then it's interesting, I hate the look of pride. I hate a proud and arrogant look. And God will humble the proud, and he'll exalt those who are humble. And so she was damaged. Without raising your hand, I know that the percentage is high. How many of you have been divorced? You ever feel like the big D? Maybe early on? Damaged by brokenness, damaged by hurt. And she was extremely damaged. Psalm 34, though, thank God. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Some of you need to hear that this morning. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, this could be a call to salvation, because when a person is saved, they are crushed. They see the weight of their sin and they turn their lives over to God, and God saves them. But also the application could be saving in the need of, I need deliverance. My enemies are after me. I'm caught in this stronghold. And God says, if you humble yourself and you become brokenhearted, you become crushed in spirit. Like I told you a few weeks ago, how do you get the olive oil? Ask the olive. It's not very popular. I'm sure the olive doesn't like it if they could feel things. You have to crush the olive. You have to crush the flowers for the perfume. You have to put the oranges and grapes into a juicer. And they are spun and they are crushed to reap the benefits. I'd love to do a sermon on that sometime, the crushed in spirit, what it looks like. But God says, I am close to those who are broken. And then she's disappointed, damaged, and ultimately defeated. Have you ever felt defeated by the enemy? Could not be healed by any other means. I've tried it all. And many times people become Christians and they'll say that, I've tried everything out there. I've tried these different religions. I feel defeated. Romans 8:28, though, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purposes. One thing about Romans 8:28, very easy to quote, hard to live it out. Defeated, sometimes I can never get up in progress. I feel like for every step forward, there's two steps back. I feel like every time I'm seeking God, something begins to pull me away. I can't seem to overcome this. I can't seem to get to this area in my life where I feel God wants to work, and I'm defeated. And what do we do when we're defeated? We give up. And then we become disappointed. And here goes that cycle again. And that's why many people stay in that cycle of defeat and damaged, disappointed, delusioned, and they stay there. And I'm sure, I didn't get a chance to talk with her, but I'm sure she felt in that. What do you do after 12 years? When you're an outcast and living this way. But then we see what really changed her course. She was desperate. And I feel that strongly in the American church that we are not desperate enough for God. There has to be a desperation for God. And Matthew, he records something interesting. She said to herself, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, I may be made well. Desperate people do desperate things. If only I could get to morning worship. If only I could get to the prayer meetings. If only I could get to worship night. If only I could get here, I will do desperate things. If only I can get rid of the things in my life that are pulling me down. I need to get rid of these relationships. I need to get rid of the sick and perverted media. I am desperate to hear from God. And God says, I hear the cries of desperate children. You ever hear your kids laughing and playing outside or kind of crying, a fake cry, like, come on, get over it. But when you hear the desperate cry, anyone ever heard that? The desperate cry, mommy, daddy, I'm stuck. Help, 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 I'm falling. Something's going on, help. And you hear God forbid, the scream. You know that scream, like they just saw a rattlesnake or something. There's a desperation, and you'll do whatever you need to do. And God's word is clear on this issue. His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. There's a desperation. Folks, you got to get desperate or you will never encounter the living God. You cannot serve two masters. Either follow one and reject the other or follow him wholeheartedly. You cannot serve both God and this world. There's a desperation. There's a passion. There's no half-hearted Christianity. There's no lukewarm living on fire for God. There's a desperation. Whatever it takes, I've got to find God. If you seek me with a little bit of your heart, you will find me. That doesn't even sound right. If you seek me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and you could even break that down. If you seek me with all of your heart, where's your heart? Is there idolatry in our hearts? Idolatry is when we put anything else before God. And I've seen over the years when I was coaching Little League, and so you'd be amazed at how many people put sports before God. They'll fit God in once in a while if it fits within their schedule. Soccer, baseball, football, motocross, you name it. It's the summer, everybody's doing it. That is idolatry.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily Times change. Truth does not. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.